With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
We'll get you set for what should be a very interesting week 11 in the NFL, including the beginning of the Jameis Winston era as the Giants take on the Green Bay Packers. We'll get to it all as the show rolls on. But on this Friday, following a jet loss, we're joined by the great Joe Beningo. And his call-in on a Friday, usually on a Monday, is brought to you by Approved Oil. Visit freezetherate.com, by HL Gross Jewelers of Garden City, Total Orthopedics, the experts at getting you back to being you, and by Audi Manhattan, where luxury meets excellence. Joe, how do you feel about what we witnessed last night?
Look, I knew they weren't winning the game. I mean, let's be honest. We both knew coming into these two games against New England and Baltimore, they had no shot. I mean, let's be real. I never for a second thought they would win, even when they took the ball down with the opening drive to score the touchdown. You know, to me, the biggest thing last night, you can get on Fields all you want, you know. He made a lot of mistakes. He had some good moments, too. But, you know, it is what it is. Big drop pass by this guy Mitchell, actually a couple of them. Some bad penalties. That intentional grounding by Fields was a killer penalty. Another killer penalty by Stevens on a big sack by Quincy Williams before halftime. Defensive holding. You had the drop pass by Mitchell. That pass down the sideline. Best pass that he Fields threw all night. Hit him right in the hands. He dropped it. He dropped another one as well. You know, I mean, what could I say? The defense, you know, no pressure. They sacked him once. He got away a couple times when they got close. McDonald was a non-factor. He might have been a little banged up still. He non-factor in the game. The guy's wide open in the second. I mean, oh, my God. I mean, you know, you can't get more open than they were. 5-10 yards, seems like, you know, Hunter Henry killed him. Collins killed him. You know, I mean, to me, that's really the story. I mean, the defense was terrible. You know, May carved them up, and, you know, that's the deal. I mean, I thought the offense was okay. I thought the offensive line played well. I think the offensive line is really starting to come around. It was only really one sack of Fields, and I guess they said it was two, but that was the fumble
right
on the snap, a bad snap, which he should have fell on.
I know.
I don't know what he's doing, picking it up and trying to run with it. I had no idea. Fall on the damn ball. I thought they played hard. You know, the Patriots are light years ahead of them. You know, first of all, they got to, you know, the quarterbacks are in different stratospheres.
Right.
And here's the other thing, too, and I got to say this about the coach, okay? And I still, the jury's still out on the coach, okay? Like I said, they're playing for him. There's no doubt. It's not a matter of effort or anything along those lines. But, you know, what he did this week again with Samini when he got all over him, I mean, come on. We all knew that Wilson was hurt. Was this a surprise? That now he's on IR. Some of the stuff the coach does at the press conference. And here's the other thing, too. After the game last night, I wanted to see what he was going to say about Fields. He never criticized
Fields.
I know.
I don't get that.
Never. And there's no way. I mean, based on what he says, I don't think there's any way he's even thinking about going to Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, I don't think. Well, I mean, maybe he does, because some of the things that he alluded to made you feel like he's going to evaluate, truly evaluate, and not just, you know, rubber stamp
Well,
evaluate.
No, real quick, you know why I think it's different, Joe? So what you heard last night, I agree with you. He met the media again today. And right. when asked about a quarterback change, he said, I'm going to evaluate everything.
Right,
and
right.
I think that's code for he's going to make a quarterback change.
Okay.
That's how I took it, at least. Yeah, so I think his tone was different today than it was last night.
Yeah, because he got home and thought about it.
Yeah.
Right? You get home late. You probably got up early before you had the meeting with the media. You watch it again, and you're like, dude, this is not right. But I think, Joe, and you know this more because of your history with this team, they have a coach. They have a quarterback. They have a running back. It feels like they have everything in order to be a pain in the butt for the next half a decade to 10 years. That's if I was a Jet fan, that's
what I'm talking about. The Patriots now.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, I'm talking about the Patriots.
God. You think?
I'm talking about how you look at this team
man.
That was like,
oh, man.
All right, they suck. They're going to be bad for a while.
Right.
And then like that, they're right back where they were.
Well, look, I mean, they're 9-2. They've won 8 in a row. They got a cream puff schedule. I think the only team they play the rest of the year with a winning record is Buffalo, and they already beat them in Buffalo.
Right.
They might be the number one seed in the AFC. I mean, believe me, I know. You know what? I'm trying not to let that kill me. You know, I'm
right.
just trying to concentrate on my team. But, look, I mean, unless we find the quarterback and we pray that we got a head coach and it doesn't look great right now in that regard, yeah, I mean they're gonna kill us. They're gonna torment me again for years. By the way, one more thing I want to throw in about the defense. Again, no turnovers. They've gone.
It's 10 amazing.
10 games. They haven't intercepted a pass. They forced one turnover all year. How is that possible? You know, for years, and Evan knows this. For years, Ev, you know, I screamed they never forced turnovers. They have taken it to a historic level.
I mean, they are setting records for how inept they are at not being able to force turnovers.
Right.
The thing that annoyed me about last night, not that I thought they were going to win or they're better or this or that. It was that I thought maybe naively that, hey, Aaron Glenn's done a really good job of cleaning up the mindless penalties. He's done a really good job. And then last night you got a 12-man on the field penalty out of a dead ball timeout?
Yeah, yeah. Well.
How does that happen?
Well, how do you get a defense? I know these defensive holdings, you know, they probably happen all the time. That was a killer with the sack by Williams.
And how does that even happen when the sack occurred in less than 1 second?
I know, that's what I thought.
To commit holding.
He didn't even see anybody downfield. It happened so damn fast. They couldn't wait to throw the flag. Nah, believe me, bro, it's what can I say? You know, again, I'm trying to look for positives. The team's not going anywhere anyway. I'm trying to look for my positive take from last night is the fact that I thought the offensive line played well and is getting better. I did think that. I know Tippmann had a bad penalty in the game, but even so, I thought that. You know, I thought that Engstrom did a good job. I thought the play calling was okay. That opening drive, it was, I guess he scripted it. It was Bill Walsh from the 80s. I mean, you know, that was pretty good. I mean, I like that. They hit a bunch of, I think they were 8-for-14 on third down last night.
Yeah.
It was mind-boggling when you think about it. You know, Breece didn't do much, but they were keying on him. But I go back to this again. Why don't they throw him the ball? It makes me critique-y. They don't throw him the ball.
Yeah,
they threw him two passes last night. One was a 2-yard loss. One was maybe a 9-yard gain.
Right,
what are we doing?
But problem is, think how are you going to do that? Because Justin Fields has trouble convincing you that he can throw the ball anywhere.
Right.
So the only way you can get Breece Hall the ball is to do it surprise like last week where he caught that. I mean, he sprinted out and then stopped, and that was I forget what they call it. It's like a sprint screen, but whatever.
Okay.
And it worked, but it's because you hadn't seen it. Now, now you got to create new ways to get him the football in the pass game, and Justin Fields hasn't been great at that. So this all comes back to the quarterback. When your quarterback doesn't play well or give the threat of playing well, it makes you unable to do a lot of things. And I think that's where Tanner Engstrom, you know, whether he's young or not in this play calling duties, that's where he's struggling with. You feel it.
Yeah. You know, and let me say this, too. I mean, I don't know who the quarterback's going to be next year. They're going to get their shot at one of these quarterbacks. There's no doubt about it. They're going to be at minimum a top five pick. I don't think there's any question about it. And I think really the only teams that could be in that mix for a quarterback are the Saints and the Raiders. I don't think any of these other teams, the Giants.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor, ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back to school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads.
Giants, the Titans, you know, these teams are not.
You don't think the Browns would take one?
Well, they already got two young ones.
I know, but
another one?
Yeah, I kind of think they would.
Well,
that's a
weird situation.
I think if I was, well, I mean, look, I mean, what they've done with quarterbacks is you talk about the Jets.
It's criminal.
I mean, they let Mayfield go. They gave Watson. I mean, it's I would think if I'm the Browns, at some point, don't you got to see Sanders play? Doesn't he have to play?
I would think so, unless right? They despise him and maybe the owner forced the pick. That's the only thing I could think of.
But, Joe, I don't know if you heard Stefanski, their head coach this week.
Right, right. What did he say?
Because he was asked specifically that, because Dylan Gabriel has not been good.
No.
He said, paraphrasing, will we see Shedeur Sanders? Immediately, he was like, no, we're sticking with Dylan Gabriel. He's going to be our guy. It almost feels like he was forced to keep Shedeur Sanders, and he has no intention ever
playing
of playing him, ever.
Right, right. Well, here's something else to remember, though, and I said this on my podcast. I was on with the great Jake Asman today, and I've said this. You could draft a quarterback this year and still draft a quarterback next year.
100%.
I mean, it's not unprecedented to do.
Why not?
You know, if you draft a guy and he's not the guy, you know, I mean, maybe you take Dante Moore. Even if you wind up with Mendoza and he doesn't turn out to be the guy, you know, you could still draft, you know, maybe Arch Manning the next year. So, I you know, they're in a good position with all the draft capital that they can do something like that.
I think it actually is smart to do that because, the odds of hitting are very low,
right,
not just if you're the Jets. It's bad enough when we're the Jets.
Right.
And you're loaded enough, like you said, with extra picks where you can afford to take those shots.
Right.
Why not?
Right. Yeah, I agree. I'm 100%. And I really don't want to see some vet. You know, I know Herb Street mentioned Kirk Cousins, for a year. I don't want Kirk Cousins.
But you know what, Joe? You know what's changed over the last week, couple of weeks? Not that I want those guys to be my quarterback. It's that I don't even know if Justin Fields is good enough to be the bridge quarterback.
Mm. Well, that's right.
That's the problem.
I understand that. No, I get that.
So you're going to need one. And, well, Tyrod Taylor's here for another year, so.
Sure.
Can we see, am I crazy? I mean, he probably can't play, but can we see this kid, who's the backup, the other quarterback they got
Cook,
on the roster?
Brady
Cook.
Can
we see him? Isn't it worth seeing him again?
But I don't think that's going to happen until, like, week 14. Unfortunately,
I think
when it's really far gone.
Now, though, it should be Tyrod Taylor because you got to at least give yourself a chance to win. But I agree with you. Once it's really out of the barn and there's 2 weeks to go in the season, you may as well. But did you want to make the move? What point in the game, I guess I'd ask it this way, did you want to make the move to Tyrod Taylor? Was there moment?
I was okay. Look, they were only down 14-7 at halftime. They were still in the game. And I go to that possession, and we talked about it. They stop them three and out. New England gets the ball to start the half. They actually go three and out. They stop him. I think that's the series where Diggs dropped that pass over the middle.
And they ruled
looked
it incomplete.
Like he caught, right. Looked like he caught it, but he didn't catch it. So they stop him. All right. They actually get a couple first downs. They're like driving. They get it. They get like on the other side of the 50, and that's where
intentional grounding.
Right.
Yep.
That to me, that if I look at one play in the game, that was the killer. Mm-hmm. I think at that point, you know, certainly at 21-7, I think I would have at that point went to Taylor.
Yeah, I think right around there. I was thinking halftime almost because those last three drives.
Yeah.
They both two of the drives went bad because Justin Fields made a terrible pass. Yeah, two of them. One on third down.
One Mitchell dropped. He hit him. I mean, that was the best ball he threw all night, and Mitchell didn't catch it.
That was on the other drive, though. Like, that was
one. I know.
There were three drives.
Well, he missed them, too. And it was a third down where he had him wide open.
That's what I mean.
To the wrong side of him.
Yeah.
Yes.
Two examples where he missed open, specifically A.D. Mitchell, who, you know, it was his first game. I give him credit, man. He burned Christian Gonzalez. The problem is he can't catch a freaking football. That's the problem.
The other guy looked okay. Mechie caught the touchdown pass. Of course, he was all alone. The guy fell down. And then he caught another first down pass. So, you know, he's kind of small, but he's fast. Maybe you got something with him. You know, maybe you do. I don't know.
I don't think it's the skill position players on this team. And you mentioned it's not the offensive line. It's the quarterback, Joe.
Yeah. No, it's all about the 100%. It's all about the quarterback. And I really hope the coach is going to make a switch. You know, I got to ask you because Tommy told me you're doing a game tonight, right? Louisville-Clemson?
Yep,
right?
Louisville-Clemson.
And Clemson's been a massive disappointment
this year. But you know who's starting at guard, or at least has been the last couple of weeks?
Who's that?
Braden Jacobs. Brandon Jacobs' kid? Yeah.
For Clemson?
For Clemson. He started left guard for Dabo. So
right.
I don't know if I think it might be because of injury, but I get a chance to see. I'm sure BJ's here because it's not that far from Atlanta where they live.
Right. But what's called still a quarterback? Because I haven't paid a lot of attention to Clemson after, you know,
Klubnik.
I know Louisville looks like they could. It is still Klemson. I was going to ask you that. It's still him?
Yeah,
Because I've seen him a few games. He doesn't look terrible, but
he doesn't.
They've had a bad year.
Well, he's a senior, so he's been here for a while. And I think the expectation was that he was going to be one of those top five picks in from a quarterback standpoint. Right. But they got off to such a horrible start. He's played a lot better in the last couple of weeks, so maybe he finds a way. But I'll get an up-close and personal report on him for you, Joe.
What time's that game start? Like 7:30. So I got to watch some of that game because there's nothing else going on tonight either.
No.
Now before I leave you, I got to ask my guy this. Okay, you got the Met thing on. Are we going to sign these guys? You know, I heard Edwin Diaz say it's only in his mind 50-50 he's going to come back to the Mets, and please don't let him sign with the Dodgers. I mean, I've heard that.
I'm afraid of that, bro.
Yeah, I want to vomit. I mean, the Dodgers, there should be a ban on what the
Joe,
Dodgers
he said most.
Do.
It sounded like he said whoever's going to pay me the most money.
Yeah, I think he was honest, bro. I think the 50-50, because we were listening to his clip before, he basically said, in so many words, I'm going to the team that makes me the best offer, and I'd like it for it to be the Mets. I love New York. So this comes down to Cohen and Stearns opening up the wallet and realizing that they cannot afford to try to replace Edwin Diaz.
Take the boy wonder out of it. It all comes down to Cohen. There's nobody. I'm sorry. Stearns doesn't want Alonso. Okay, I don't care what any of these reporters try to tell me. This guy doesn't want him, all right? It comes down to Cohen. Cohen is the guy. Forget Stearns. Cohen's got to is the guy that's going to pay Pete and pay Diaz, and he needs to do it. And if he doesn't do it, okay, if he pulls a Frank Cashin, okay, and lets, you know, going back to Strawberry in 1990, and lets Alonso walk, and of course this is, you know, the Cashin at least won a championship, but this guy's won nothing. Hmm. All right, to me it's all on Cohen. Forget Stearns.
You know why?
It's all on the owner. I'm sorry, bro.
No, I actually agree with you because in baseball, there's no freaking salary cap. It's just about what you're willing to
pay.
Right.
You got to pay that luxury tax or whatever.
And that's up to the owner. That's up to how far do they want to go.
Right.
And so the sense is, based on them meeting with Pete, because they've already met with Pete, they're meeting with Diaz, they'd like to bring them back. Well, go bring them back. Make sure that you make the highest offer. But I'll ask you this, because I want them both back. You know how I feel about Pete.
Want them both back.
But
if they did nothing else, okay?
Right.
Nothing else, even not one pitcher, I want my guys back.
I want them back. But let me ask you this. I don't think you're going to want to answer it. who is going to be tougher to replace, Pete Alonso or Edwin Diaz? I love Pete. Well, I think it's tougher to replace Edwin. I have to be honest with you.
Maybe. But you know what, bro? And I get it. And Diaz is one of the – I think he's the best closer in baseball.
He is.
Didn't he win the award? Didn't he win that?
Yes.
I think he did.
Yeah. He did, yes.
Okay. Man, I'm just tired of losing my guys, bro. I've been burned from Seaver to Strawberry to Murphy to Wheeler, you know, to David Cone. We could go on and on. I can't take it anymore. You cannot allow the best – sorry, in all due respect to David Wright, you cannot allow – the best everyday player we've ever had to walk away. I want to see Pete Alonso hit 400-plus home runs as a Met. I want him to play his whole career as a Met. I'm sorry. I can't take it anymore of us letting our guys go.
Amen.
Our iconic players go.
Amen.
Sign freaking Alonso.
To quote you from your lips to God's ears, because they need to. Now, I'm very curious about this, and this has nothing to do with sports, all right?
Go.
Have you or your wife, Terry, have you gotten Netflix yet, or do you not have Netflix?
Which one is this?
Netflix?
I think we do have it.
Okay. Here's the deal.
Which one?
Here's the deal.
Is that the one with A-Rod? Is that A-Rod?
Now, screw no. A-Rod.
No, I don't know.
No. There's a four-part miniseries movie about James Garfield and Charles Guiteau.
Oh, I see. You know what? I saw that in the paper the other
day. Bro, you got to watch it.
Oh, man. Did you see it already?
I've seen the whole thing. Tiki has seen it. You got to watch it.
Yeah. Yeah, Garfield killed the what? I don't even think he lasted a year. Was he in a year? Less than a year.
He got shot 3 months in his term, died a few months later.
Right, yep. And the guy that killed him was actually a fan of his, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
He was delusional. He thought he was responsible for his success.
Right.
At least that's how it was portrayed.
Yeah, you got to see this.
You got to watch
it.
It's
very
good.
Well done.
Yeah, I got to see it. You're right. And it's on Netflix now?
Netflix, yes, right now.
Okay. And what's the name of it?
It's called Death by Lightning. Death by Lightning. Yes.
Mm. Wow. And I think, wouldn't he have recovered if it was like modern medicine?
Yes, the doctor.
Well, no, they should have just left it alone.
They screwed it up, right?
Yep.
They left it. So back in the 1800s, this injury would happen where soldiers would get shot. And they couldn't get to the bullet, wherever it was, lodged right by the pancreas or something.
Right.
And they would just leave it, and they'd be fine. They tried to do surgery and basically killed them.
Yeah. Wow. Now, you know what? You're 100% right, bro. I am all over that. By the way, speaking of that, I am in the middle. I got an 800-page book that my wife got me last year, right? On one of my all-time favorite presidents, one of our all-time great generals, Ulysses S. Grant.
Oh, nice.
It's 800 pages. I have read 462 of I am at the point now, okay? You know, the Civil War just ended, Lincoln was just assassinated. We are moving now into where he will eventually become the 18th president.
Wow. What's the name of it?
I think it's just Grant. I can get it. It's right over here if you want me to grab it. I think it's Grant. It is massive. Okay?
I mean, it
gives you every detail of this guy. It's unbelievable. I don't know how he lived to 62. He was smoking.
Yep.
Like, he had a cigar in his mouth all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
George Burns.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, George Burns lived to be like 100.
I know. Yes.
Not Grant. He made it to about 62, I think.
And he died broke, which is depressing.
With nothing. Right? He had to do his memoirs. He had to sell his memoirs just to get some money at the end.
Yes. Absolutely.
I know that.
Yeah.
Very cool. He is buried in Grant's tomb.
That is true. Thank you, Joe. We appreciate it.
Hey, guys, God bless. Take care.
Thank you, Joe.
The great Joe Beningo, who has Netflix. And he's going to get to see Death by Lightning, because I'm telling you, one of the best shows out there. One of the best movies out there.
Very well done. Yeah, I mean, technically it's a movie, but they broke it up. You have to these days.
No doubt.
Nobody's going to sit and watch.
Yeah. We don't have the attention span, dude.
No, we don't.
5 hours straight. We'll get your calls next, 888-808-1019. Get your calls in a minute, plus we've got data, stats, facts, to see how interim head coaches do in their first game as interim head coach. But before that, we have breaking sports news we have to talk about. I know you will be interested in this, Tiki. It is hockey news, but as we know, the Devils are the premier team in the local area. And I've just been handed a note that Jack Hughes is out right now indefinitely, according to the Devils, with a non-hockey hand injury.
Non-hockey hand injury?
Yeah. So let me try to find out more about this. Apparently, Jack Hughes is out after cutting his hand at a team dinner.
What?
Yeah.
How does that even happen?
Apparently, he was cutting steak at a team dinner and accidentally cut his hand.
Wow.
Wait. We have more.
Let's hear it.
The team dinner. Is this true?
This is true.
Wait, hold on a sec. Okay. Sean, I can't say this because no one will believe me.
Okay.
Tell me more about the team dinner that Jack Hughes injured his hand at.
This from Elliot Friedman. Exact details are unknown at this time, but it's believed he slipped and cut his hand in what multiple sources are calling a quote, fluke accident. This team dinner, based on pictures that have now circulated, was Frank the Tank's birthday dinner in which the Devils showed up as a team to.
What? No,
so Frank the Tank had a birthday dinner.
Are you kidding?
In Chicago where the Devils were, and the Devils, with Frank the Tank being a big fan, showed up to surprise him, and the star of the Devils slipped while cutting a steak and sliced his hand so badly, he is now out indefinitely on a red-hot hockey team.
Okay, so slipped while... Okay, hold on. Was he cutting a steak, or was he, like, running with a knife?
No, I believe he was cutting a steak, so his hand slipped.
Okay, this still doesn't make sense to me. Is not your hand on a fork and the other hand on a knife? So how is one with the knife? I don't get how this happened.
I think the only... you're right. Like, maybe just he went too hard with the knife. It came up and it cut the hand that was holding the fork.
I apologize, Teak. I'm not fascinated by that.
You're fascinated in Frank the Tank?
He was at Frank the Tank's birthday dinner, and that's
what
this
team was. The whole team was?
Oh, my God.
And the sixth defenseman didn't slip and cut his hand at Frank the Tank's birthday dinner. The star of the New Jersey Devils, who has an injury history, is now out indefinitely.
Could you imagine Frank the Tank reacting to Jack Hughes cutting his hand at a non-hockey event? I mean, Frank would lose his mind. Meanwhile, it happened at his event.
Right. What is it, Biggie?
Oh, my goodness.
This is one of the most, and it may live for 5 minutes, outrageous New York sports stories I have ever seen in my life.
Right. I agree with you.
Wow. Well, all the best to Jack Hughes and all the best to Frank the Tank. I don't know how he's taking this. Has Frank the Tank commented on the injury as of yet?
As Tommy would like to say, Frank the Tank has not met the podium.
He's got to.
No, Biggie!
That's what we should tell him. Don't worry, Frank. No Biggie.
To no Biggie, Frank.
By the way, that's not Frank saying no Biggie. That's Frank mocking Tommy for no Biggie.
That is correct. Yes, that is not. Frank, I don't think he's ever uttered the words no Biggie other than to mock Tommy Lugauer.
It's motherfucker Tommy Lugauer.
Sean, did you come up with all the data for the 36 interim head coaches who have taken over since 2010?
No, I did not.
Well, there's good news.
Oh, you did it. Like, I knew you would, which is why I didn't.
I did not do it, Tiki.
No. Wow. Who did then? Somebody did.
I received an email at 6:33 last night after our show ended from a fellow named John Gordman. I'll give him full credit, who writes, "Guys, I can't believe I did this, but I was bored. And like you, I'm a bit of a nerd, and I like stats." So he broke down every single interim head coach since 2010 who's taken over and the overall record. So 36 games. We're talking about the first game that they coached, like Mike Kafka has on Sunday against Green Bay. Do you want to guess on the combined record of the interim head coaches for their first week taking over a team? Again, 36 coaches, so 36 games.
16-20.
It's a good guess. What about you, Sean?
I'm going to say... 17-19.
All right.
Price and Right is in Tiki.
Tommy, you have a guess.
Give me it again.
36 games by the interim head coaches in their first game taking over.
So I'm going to go 20-16.
Sean nailed it. 17-19.
Oh, you suck, son.
Hey, listen, you went first.
That's a .472 winning percentage, which I don't think we're accepting is like really good. Considering they're replacing fired coaches who had an abysmal record.
No, but hold on. I think that actually is very good.
It's amazingly good.
Because when you fire a coach, it's because your team stinks.
Right.
And so you're taking a bad team and winning at a 40% clip. That's actually pretty good.
And I would say it's actually better because included in this group, and I don't think it should be included, was the year that Sean Payton got suspended. So we're including the Aaron Cromer, Joe Vitt year.
If you
take that out, that's a game they lost. You're talking about 17-18. So there is no doubt. It's now backed up by stats And this was the whole point of the discussion, because Sean made a comment offhanded about how there's usually a bump for the interim head coach. And I said, don't just say it, have data. Well, no thanks to Sean, but thanks to John, we have data. And Sean, you're right. The stats absolutely back you up that, as Tiki pointed out, these teams are usually pretty bad.
Right.
And for them to go 17 and 18 in those 35 games, there's clearly a bump.
I told him, this is why you don't need to look up things when you say something to a microphone. You just say it and you pray it's right.
And you hope your gut is correct.
Exactly.
Yeah, and a 50-50 shot. Now, you brought up yesterday the Giants being attached to a lot of these first games. Well, let's at least get the data on that. Jason Garrett's first game.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven. Fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
After taking over for Wade Phillips, was against the New York Giants, and he won that game 33-20.
Nice.
All right, that's one. Let me get the number two. You ready? Pat Shurmur took over for, I guess it was Chip Kelly in 2015. Is that who he replaced?
Where?
In Philadelphia.
Pat Shurmur?
Yeah, he was an interim head coach.
No, Chip Kelly was. Oh, maybe it was. And then didn't they hire Doug Peterson?
And then it was Doug Peterson right after that. You want to confirm that John's facts are right?
You're right. Interim head coach, 2015 Philadelphia Eagles.
Don't question John. Mm-hmm. His first game was also against the New York Giants. And guess what? The Eagles won 35-30.
That's at least three that we know that had their initial games against the Giants.
Right, because then you have Antonio Pierce who had his initial game against the Giants.
And Jason Garrett.
So it's 3-0. Those are the histories of it. Now there's one against the Jets, if we care about them. Do you want to include the Jets in this?
Yes.
Anthony Lynn took over for Rex Ryan in 2016, and the Jets won the game 30-10. So the Jets had their success in that one game. And the other time that the Giants had an interim was Steve Spagnuolo back in 2017, and you guys lost 30-10. So there's your history of interim head coaches.
More on that in Cinco de Five.
Oh, really? Okay.
I got all the nuggets from that game.
So here's what we've learned from this whole exercise. The Giants should win on Sunday. That's what I take out of it, Teak.
Why?
Because the history says there is a bump.
The history says teams that change their coach and play us, beat us. That's what it says.
You're right. It does happen well against the Giants, but
I don't think it works the other way unless you're taking the collective history and applying it to the Giants.
That's what I'm doing. I'm saying that there's clearly, based on that data, a bump that a team gets from replacing the head coach. I don't know.
But it's a 50-50 chance to win. 50-50% chance.
It's 50-50, but considering the teams are awful, that, like you said, is a great percentage. That breakdown we just gave you is a clean, crisp Giants breakdown, and it was sponsored by Bud Light. Easy to drink, easy to enjoy. So have I convinced you the Giants are a lock to win on Sunday, Tiki?
No.
Oh, okay. Give it a try. Let's get back to your calls. Gabe is in Wayne, New Jersey. What's shaking, Gabe?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
No problem.
Listen, Edwin Diaz's comments absolutely murdered my hopes of him being a Yankee next year. And it was mainly the line where he said that he wants to win a World Series. But all kidding aside, I do think it's interesting. Like, if the Yankees were to have any shot at Edwin Diaz, I almost feel like not only will they need to have the best offer, but they're going to need to make some big, kind of like blockbuster moves before they go in and have that conversation. Because I know, and Edwin Diaz knows, that the Yankees are more than just an Edwin Diaz away from a World Series.
Yeah, but
I
think you're making a mistake. So if you're just tuning in, you could rewind to about 3:40, and we listened and read through some of Edwin Diaz's comments last night at the award ceremony. And he said he wants to win a championship, and he also said he needs to take care of his family. The Yankees fit the bill of being close to a ring. They're in the playoffs every year. It's about the biggest contract.
Right.
So I think Gabe's overthinking it, that the Yankees have to make all these blockbusters to appeal to Edwin Diaz. If the New York Yankees make Edwin Diaz the biggest offer, he'll be a New York Yankee.
Right. Which one did he say first, Edwin Diaz?
What did he say first in terms of what?
In terms of taking care of his family, or he wants to win a championship?
He said taking care of his family first.
Yeah, so, yeah. We know what that means.
It's about the money.
Code for money.
It's code for money.
Code for, I just saw Juan Soto get broke off.
Absolutely.
On my team, and I want that.
If they came with the best deal for me, this is him speaking of the Mets, I'd enjoy to stay with them. But at the end of the day, I don't know what they're thinking. I want to take care of my family.
Mm.
So, same goes for the Yankees. I think it's all a level playing field because the teams that are attached to Edwin are all going to be good teams. The Blue Jays are clearly attached to him. They had a meeting with him the other day. The Dodgers are attached to him. The Yankees, the Mets, they're all contenders. Now, we could power rank them if you want, but I don't think Edwin Diaz is doing that. I think he's power ranking it based on years and money.
Right.
Steve is in Putnam County. Hey, Steve.
Hey, good to talk to you guys. I'm amazed that I don't hear anybody mentioning the negatives regarding Kafka's play calling. I think the guy has been a horrible play caller. Other than that first year, they went 9-7-1. But he was horrendous 2 years ago, was stripped of his play calling duties. The running game, Tiki, former running back. I mean, I'll bet you Saquon would agree with me. This running game is just real basic. I mean, the play calling is predictable.
It is.
I'd actually blame Kafka. This is going to sound crazy. I blame Kafka for the loss to the Bears last week and other losses this season because 6-7 minutes left in the game, you're up by 10 points, and you're starting to crawl inside of a shell. It's almost like he's trying to run the clock out with 7 minutes left. And when you coach or play not to lose, what happens?
Yeah, you lose.
You usually lose.
But here's the thing. I'm starting to feel, at least the narrative that is going to be crafted, is that that was all Dabes. That was Dabes' call.
Even though Kafka, it was the play call.
Yes, exactly. And it's the same thing that, because you started to hear this with the Jackson Dart injury. Jackson Dart gets these QB designed runs called, zone reads, etc. Maybe even, you know, run all the way QB plays. And Dabes gets blamed for it when he gets banged around. But isn't Mike Kafka calling the plays? And so I think there's an opportunity for Mike Kafka to change that narrative about himself from this last call. Exactly what he was saying might be true, but he can change it by not being conservative in those moments, not trying to just like not lose the game, not putting your quarterback in harm's way, like being varied in your grain. He's talking about their run game. They run so much just inside zone and duo. It's just it got boring, and eventually they started stretching it out and doing outside mid zone. But there's not enough gap scheme. There's not enough differentiation in the run game. He's right, but I don't know if that was Dabes. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Or is it Mike Kafka?
So. Answer me if I'm wrong on this. I was looking, I'll give a presidential analogy, right? So the Secretary of State, you know, works for the president. He or she deploys the strategies of the administration.
Yes.
And so the president will say, look, this is how I want our foreign policy to go towards Cuba or North Korea or Russia. And so if we disagree with the policies, we usually question the president.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Daboll's the head coach.
Rubio's even not questioning nothing.
Brian Daboll's the head coach. So when we get upset at play calling decisions, even if Mike Kafka's the play caller, isn't Brian Daboll in the days leading up to a game telling him this is how I want things called?
You're right. Look, they have conversations about this and they talk about, you know, in third down situations, what are we going to do? I'm running on first down. What's the plan? Of course, the head coach is the ultimate dictator of that. But I kind of think in real time, it becomes the coordinator, becomes the play caller. He has to make the snap, quick decision and get quick approval, obviously, from the head coach. By the way, that's the communication that you're talking about, because it's like, what do we want here? You have like 3 seconds before you have to start signaling it into the quarterback so he doesn't get delays of game. And maybe that failure in communication is why the Giants had so many delays of games early in this season. I mean, there was at least 5 of them that I can remember.
We do have a quote from Frank the Tank. For those that are just tuning in, Jack Hughes, superstar of the New Jersey Devils, is out with a non-hockey hand injury that he suffered while trying to cut steak at Frank the Tank's birthday party. This is all true, everything I just said. And I said, has Frank the Tank said anything? He has responded to the Devils' tweet in which they said Jack Hughes is out with a non-hockey hand injury by saying, quote, are you bleeping kidding me?
No, baby. Oh, so he didn't even know?
I mean, I don't think he knows. Now, he has retweeted other clips talking about how it happened at Frank the Tank's party.
No biggie.
But the only comment we've gotten from him is, are you bleeping kidding me?
No biggie.
That's what we've gotten from Frank.
If I could get inside Frank the Tank's mind, it was a big, you know, bunch of tables. I'm sure Jack wasn't seated right next to Frank. Jack probably got whisked away very quickly. Big wet cloth napkin on his hand, and they probably thought no harm, no foul, and finding out he's out with this is probably killing Frank now.
I mean,
it's got to.
I mean, yeah, that's right, because in real time, you're not going to know that it's just a slight, it's a little cut, paper cut.
A little flesh wound.
I mean, you hope he didn't, like, cut a ligament in his hand.
Oh, God, don't make this
or,
worse.
Or, like, a tendon. No, I'm serious, because I almost did that in college, because we had a bagel, you know the bagel cutters where you just put it in and you just push down the little thing and it cuts the bagel? Well, we didn't have those when I first got to UVA, and so they had that big serrated knife. You know what I mean? The long one with the big nubs on it.
Yes, and us poor still use that to cut.
Right, so I'm cutting it, and it won't work. So I pick it up and hold it in my hand and start cutting towards my hand. It cuts right through, and it cuts right through my hand. And I ran out, wrapped the napkin of it, went over to the training facility, and luckily it just needed a couple of stitches.
Damn. But
they were like, man, you got close to cutting a tendon.
Oh, no.
I'm telling you.
I don't mean to be a jerk, but I just want to make a statement that may be related to Jack Hughes, maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew Schaefer does not cut his hands eating steak.
Mm.
He's above that. Maybe that's because Matt Martin cuts the steak for him.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, stop.
Schaefer still puts ketchup on the steak.
All right.
Hey,
drinks high C.
Whatever, he tells the chef, can you bring it out bite size, please, with ketchup on the side? And do you have French fries? Not the thick ones. I just want the skinny ones.
That's my king, though. That's my king. Let's hear from Kendrick in Suffern. What's up, Kendrick?
What's up, guys? So let's just make something clear here for future New York stars. Don't text Joe B and don't party with Frank the Tank. Okay? Those are two things you can't do.
Right.
Now, Tiki, you're in Louisville today?
I am.
Okay, so Suffern's own, the most decorated athlete we had come out there, Clev Lubin's a DN for Louisville.
Yeah, that's right.
I know they lost to you guys, UVA, in overtime. They lost last week, but he's a good dude, so hopefully they take it down tonight. But I did call about the Jets. I thought Joe B was spot on today with some of the things he said. I think, you know, listen, Justin Fields isn't the answer, but I think he's getting way too much of the blame. Mm-hmm. I think when you look at this right now, coaching matters. And last year when we were looking for a coach for the Jets, I brought up the idea of having assistants come through and help. And I thought Aaron Glenn was going to bring someone different for the defense. You know, I called a few weeks ago, Steve Wilkes' defense. You want to talk about no interceptions, no fumble recoveries, no turnovers. every big play on a second and long or third and short or whatever it is, the wide receivers are open by 5 yards. How are you going to pick the ball off when no one's near the receiver? And to me, you know, he doesn't have a record of building and developing. He has a record of, like, cleaning up messes and short stints. So I think the issue more so last night was on the defense. Fields didn't do much. And here's the thing I would do if I was Aaron Glenn with Justin Fields, if you really want to continue to throw him out there. Look at Brad Smith and Taysom Hill. You know, Justin Fields, you know, is a reason we lose some of these games, but he's also the reason why we're still in these games. And I think when you looked at that first series, that first drive, it was scripted. Coming out of halftime, the intentional grounding killed a momentum drive there, but then the next drive, they were still in that script, in that mode. And when Justin Fields knows what he's doing and he doesn't have to think, I don't mean to insult the guy, but it seems like when he has to figure it out on his own, he can't play. But those opening drives, Tiki, you alluded to, in the second half when you come out of halftime and you know what you want to do and he can just run and throw without thinking, that athleticism is at full display. Right. Whereas when he gets into these situations where he has to, you know, go off script, he intentional grounding, you know, and he starts to lose a little bit of his luster. So to me, I would use him more in a Taysom Hill role and give him two or three series or drives a game and let Tyrod Taylor play also and go with the two quarterbacks. I mean, what do we have to lose?
Yeah. So just to your point, so I'm just looking through Steve Wilkes' history. So when he was in San Francisco, he would get pressure. It's because they had good edge rushers, so they could get home with four. And it was around 40%, which is, you know, middle of the league or so, but not bad. And then when he brought pressure, it'd be 56, 57%, which is top of the league, right? So he was doing a great job of getting pressure because of the edge rushers, and you could play zone behind it, and those guys could see what the quarterback is doing and break on the ball, get interception, create turnovers, etc. Do you know what Steve Wilkes' pressure rate is in 2025 for the New York Jets?
What's up?
10.3%. 10.3%, which is damn near last in the league.
That's awful.
So we talked last week. Look, they won the game last week because of Will McDonald and Jermaine Jackson.
Johnson
and the pressure that they were able to generate. It changes games, like defensively. It gives you a chance. And when they don't get pressure, it just makes it too easy, especially for good quarterbacks like Drake May and the New England Patriots.
What should we expect from the Giants offense being led by Jameis Winston? We'll get to it coming up in a few minutes. Plus, did Aaron Glenn actually apologize?
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.